So you can notice it's a very interesting verse. We will have an extended translation, but the Sanskrit itself is very interesting. Basically, he says, obeisance is to you who are peaceful, to you who are horrible, to you who are stupid, mudhaya, to you who are without qualities, to you who are transcendental, and to you who are condensed knowledge. But we will have a personified translation. So let's do word for word. Namaha. All obeisances. Shantaya. Unto he who is above all material qualities and completely peaceful, or unto Vasudeva, the Super Soul, in every living entity. Ghoraya, unto the fierce forms of the Lord, like Jamadagna and Nrisimhadev. What's another name for Jamadagna? Huh? No? Parashram, yeah. Mudhaya, the form of the Lord as an animal, such as the boar. Gunadharmine, who accepts different qualities within the material world. Nirvisheshaya, who is without material qualities, being fully spiritual. Samyaya, Lord Buddha, the form of Nirvana, wherein the material qualities stop. Namaha, I offer my respectful obeisances. Jnana Ghanaya, who is knowledge or the impersonal Brahman. Cha, also. Ghana is like condensed. So usually all people love condensed milk with sugar. Yes? And here we have condensed knowledge, also with sugar. Again, any form of Krishna. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Vasudeva, who is all-pervading, to the Lord's fierce form as Lord Nrisimhadev, to the Lord's form as an animal, Lord Varahadev, to Lord Dattatreya, who preached impersonalism, to Lord Buddha, and to all the other incarnations. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord who has no material qualities, but who accepts the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance, within this material world. I also offer my respectful obeisances unto the impersonal Brahman effulgence. I can see a very intelligent elephant. Very deep philosophical prayers. Of course, we know he continues from before. He was chanting them in his previous life. Purport. In the previous verses, it has been described that although the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material form, he accepts innumerable forms to favor his devotees and kill the demons. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are so many incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that they are like the waves of a river. The waves of a river flow incessantly, and no one can count how many waves there are. Similarly, no one can calculate when and how the different incarnations of the Lord appear according to the necessities of time, place, and candidates. The Lord appears perpetually. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 4:7, Yadaidahi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuttanama dharmasya tadatmanam sridam yaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. In the material world there is always the possibility of deviation from Krishna consciousness, Hare Krishna. And therefore, Krishna and his devotees always act in various forms to curb such godlessness. Today at 4 there is a patrol going out on the city to chant Hare Krishna and remind people that there is Krishna. Be Krishna conscious with loud instruments. Yeah. Krishna, Prabhupada says, Krishna and his devotees. Even impersonalists who stress the knowledge feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead want to merge in the effulgence of the Lord. Therefore, here the word jnana-ghanaya indicates that for atheists who disbelieve in the form and existence of the Lord, all these various incarnations appear. Since the Lord comes to teach in so many forms, no one can say that there is no God. The word jnana-ghanaya is especially used here to those whose knowledge has become solidified by dint of their searching for the Lord through speculative philosophical understanding. Solidified. Hare Krishna. It's like barfi, right? We have condensed milk and this is even more solid. It's like barfi. Or sandesh. Superficial knowledge is useless for understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when one's knowledge becomes extremely intense and deep, how deep is your knowledge? Is your knowledge extremely intense? When one's knowledge becomes extremely intense and deep, one understands Vasudeva. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlaba. A jnani attains this stage after many, many births. Therefore, the word jnana ghanaya is used here. The word shantaya indicates that Lord Vasudeva is situated in everyone's heart, but does not act with a living entity. Hare Krishna. He is too peaceful for that. He is too peaceful. Shantaya. Impersonalist jnanis realize Vasudeva when they are fully mature in knowledge. Vasudeva sarvam iti samahatma sadurlabha. Nama shantaya ghora ya mudhaya gunadharmine nirvisheshaya samyaya namo jnanaganaya cha. I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Vasudeva, who is all-pervading, to the Lord's fierce form as Lord Narisimhadev, to the Lord's form as an animal, Lord Varahadev, to Lord Dattatreya, who preached impersonalism, to Lord Buddha, and to all the other incarnations. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord who has no material qualities, but who accepts the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance, within this material world. I also offer my respectful obeisances unto the impersonal Brahman effulgence. Srimad Bhagavatam gives you the happy end story. Every story is determined by how it ends. So there are so many comedies. They are called comedies, and sometimes we think that comedy is something where you laugh. But the classic definition of a comedy, or the perfect incarnation of comedy, is Rupa Goswami's Lalita Madhava. Where Satyabhama, who is actually who? Radharani, yes, secretly, she is Radharani, marries Krishna. And Krishna marries Radharani, in the form of Satyabhama. So there is Rukmini, Jambavati, who is actually secretly who? Lalita, yes. So all of them marry Krishna, but... So that's described in this amazing Lalita Madhava. There are some quotes from Lalita Madhava in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So the end is very happy. very nice and happy. But throughout there are obstacles, obstacles and obstacles. So it's a comedy only because there is such a nice ending. On the other hand, what is a tragedy? A tragedy is some guy getting very successful and more successful and again successful. But it's a tragedy. Why? Because he's doing it in the wrong way. And he's blind to some of his problem and fault and bad quality. And therefore, he is smashed completely at the end. So that's a tragedy. So in other words, some people say that all these stories basically are meant to cure humans. So humans can't live without stories, actually. You see, children, they ask to hear the same story again and again, hundreds of times. And in fact, when you examine most stories, some people reduce them to 7 stories throughout the history. You know, somebody said, Borges said, there are 4 main stories. Another says there are 7, just 7 stories in total. There was one, Polti, he said there are 36 stories. But it looks like, yes, there are about 7 stories. So the main idea is help you live your story. So what is your story? Is it a bitter tragedy or is it a happy comedy? So Srimad Bhagavatam helps you find your story and to supply the happiest end to your story, that you finally marry Krishna, that you finally find your child, that you finally recover your master. Reconnect with your master, that you finally discover or find again your best friend, and go for a picnic to the forest, herd the cows, and eat nice lunch, and play nice games with Krishna. Happy forever after, happily forever after. So here we see Gajendra. Going through a really bad situation. His leg is chewed off by a crocodile. If there is a bad day, then he is having one. If anybody has a bad day, that's probably Gajendra who has a bad day. His leg is caught by a crocodile and he's chewing and chewing and chewing, right? And he's fighting and fighting and fighting in the ocean. And he cannot win. So then Gajendra is losing. He has lost. He has lost and he is surrendering here to Krishna. And you know that what will happen? What is going to happen? Krishna is going to come. Krishna is going to come with chakra. He will cut the crocodile and he will recover Gajendra. He will help Gajendra become himself. So Bhagavatam declares, and this is 12.4.44, he says, 12.4.40, yes. Samsara sindhu mati dustaram uttitir shor, that if you want to be saved from the ocean of samsara, where you are sometimes drowning, sometimes getting a little chance to breathe. Nowadays they call it waterboarding. It's a torture. Yeah? It's a very ancient torture. Samsara sindhu ati dustram. It's very difficult to cross the ocean. But if you want to cross, nanya plavo bhagavata purushottamasya lilakata rasanishevanam antarena pumso bhavedividukka davarditasya, we are tortured by many, many miseries. If you don't have many, many miseries, just wait. they will catch you. They will catch you. And even if there is no misery, then it's boring, it's another misery. There's always some kind of misery. So Srimad Bhagavatam declares that there is no other boat. There's only one boat that helps. And what is this boat? Bhagavata Purushottamasya. Basically, it's Srimad Bhagavatam. Lila Katha Rasa Nishevanam. This is the boat of serving the taste. So you defeat water with water. The water of samsara with the nectar of katha, lila katha rasa. So you defeat the water of samsara with rasa, with the nectar of lila katha, of discussing lila, discussing pastimes of Krishna with his devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam is the beautiful description of Krishna and Krishna's pastimes, and there is no pastimes without devotees. So pastimes means Krishna and devotees. Yes, Srila Prabhupada brings our attention that Krishna is always with somebody. Krishna is never alone. Even if it seems that he is alone, he always his devotees with him. As his flute, as his Kaustubha jewel, as his dhoti, some decorations. So Krishna is always with his devotees. So by nishevanam, and nishevana means serving, means to drink. Once somebody asked Niranjana, because we always emphasize, serve the devotees. So serve the devotees. So I remember in Lviv, once Niranjana Maharaj was asked, how to serve the devotees? You don't always get the chance to serve the devotees. So Niranjana Maharaj said, yeah, there can be different ways to serve the devotees. But the main, the first and the essential way to serve is to, what?
Hearing,
yes. Hearing. Yeah, this is if, like, for example, if somebody feeds you but doesn't listen to you, are you happy? I guess, why teenagers rebel against the parents oftentimes, right? Because the parents sometimes see us as just a body bag. Yeah, you have to put something into this body bag. Feed the bag, maybe clothe the bag, and you feel I'm not just this body bag. Well, body bag is for the dead. Yeah, basically we feel like we are treated as dead, something dead. No, we are a person. So, and a person has qualities and has relationships. So the first service is hearing. The first and main service is hearing. So if there is no hearing, then there is no question of any other service. In fact, if there is some other service, it is supposed to help us to begin to hear. And then from hearing, something else can continue. Some closing. Through hearing, we can understand. Sometimes even just hearing cures people's problems. If we just hear somebody. And there are different ways to hear. Yes, there is pretend hear. People pretend to hear. And even that helps. Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj was saying how once, when he was a temple president many years ago, I think he was a temple president in Moscow, in the Moscow temple for some time. And some lady called him on the phone. And she started sharing some of her problems, and he was listening, and it went on for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and he was saying, And then, I don't remember how long, half an hour probably, he stopped listening completely. From time to time, he would, you know, still see, is she still there? And say, oh. I don't know how much it lasted, how long it lasted. He says this himself in one lecture. It's not that I'm, how to say, spilling the beans on him. How do you say it? It's not that I'm spill the beans on him. It's not that I'm trying to point out a secret defect in him. No, he says this in his lecture on hearing, about hearing. And he says that later on, this Mataji said, Prabhu, he was not Maharaj yet, she said, Prabhu, thank you so much for hearing to me. It's the first time in decades someone hear to me. He felt, oh, I didn't hear. But even that helped. Even that helped. Because even that was not granted to the person. Even that was not granted. So that's the first level. You know, at least, you know, you are looking in the direction of the person, you know, your mind is somewhere else. But even that helps, oftentimes. Then the other one is better, is trying to understand what the person says. So that's repeating, repeating, rephrasing, mirroring. Last year I listened to a very nice book by some FBI hostage negotiator. Who founded the hostage negotiation principles. Turned out that they were so bad at this. I think there was this huge catastrophe, Waco or Johnstown, somewhere so many people got killed because they just came barging in with the guns. So they realized, no, we need to learn how to talk. And it's a whole science. You know, the guy is suicidal guy who is trying to kill so many people, and some of these people, they are able, within like few minutes, he just walks out. He just walks out. So he was saying that he went with his friend and his son on a trip, and his friend kept him talking for like 1 hour, and then finally his son started laughing. He said, Father, don't you see what your friend is doing? He's just mirroring your last words. He's just repeating the last words you said, and you think he's listening, and you get inspired, and you keep going and going and going. He's just playing your seminar back to you. He's just doing what you're teaching back to you. Another one said that he just met some very rich guy in an airport, and he just started talking, and he would just capture some words and listen to the person. So then at the end, this person said that, you're the most interesting partner in conversation I've had in decades. He never said anything. He just listened. But even that is nothing. In fact, this is how you can make friends, just listening to somebody. You have this experience, and you just listen to somebody, and then... So, you can see, we are making friends with Krishna. We are listening. And we are listening to the Bhagavad Gita every evening. We are listening. He's very happy. But there is more. There is next. The next level. What is the next level? Not necessarily. Asking questions. Huh? Less than do something. Actually, it's more difficult than doing something. But it's before... Huh? No, that was the previous one, when you capture something and you repeat back. Understanding what? What he means and what he wants and what he feels. It's basically just 1 second. Yeah? To say, oh, it looks like you feel tired. Oh, it looks like you feel worried. Oh, it looks like you feel hopeless. Oh, it looks some feeling. It's basically just one word. You feel confused. One word. And it, Bhakti Gan Maharaj was saying, it's like giving a person air. We are suffocating. We feel, I'm so lonely in this world. Krishna Gwin. But... when somebody understands what you feel, yeah, your emotions, when you finally feel understood, then it's such a big relief. I once read one Christian psychotherapist who was discussing three or four main psychotherapy schools. I forgot their names. One was existential school, but I forgot all the other ones. And he said, actually, all of them work. Why? It turns out that all of these schools of psychotherapy work not because of the philosophy, that the philosophy is correct. No, because there is somebody who is trying to understand the person's feeling. that was the main factor of success. Someone is trying to understand the person, and the person heals very often, can become healed. So we are hearing Krishna. We try to understand Krishna. Once in Jaipur, I saw we were visiting Jaipur, and I don't remember why we were near a hospital. For some reason, probably the hospital was near some palace or something. You should ask next time Narendra comes. You should ask him what that hospital is nearby of. And on the hospital, there was a big sign from the doctors. We cure, God heals. Or we treat, God cures. Something like this. We treat, God cures. we give the treatment, but the cure is given by God only. Only God can cure or heal. So we are perfectly understood by Krishna. Krishna perfectly understands us. So we can find, all of us can find our story in Srimad Bhagavatam, and we can, our task is to find the proper ending to our story, and we must find a happy end, okay? That's your duty, to find your happy end with Krishna. In this material world, it may look like whatever it looks, doesn't matter, but it must be a happy end with Krishna, because that's who we are. We are eternal living entities, and we are going back to Him. And as Prabhupada says here, this is also what Krishna's devotees do. Krishna comes with His devotees, and we are trying to curb godlessness. Hare Krishna. Curb godlessness. You understand the word curb? Curb? No, curb. Curb is to suppress, defeat. To defeat, vanquish. Remove. No, curb. Not avoid. To confront and defeat. To confront and defeat godlessness. Find godlessness and destroy. Fully destroy godlessness. Not the godless people, but godlessness of people. Yes? You find the void, the emptiness, godlessness, and destroy it. How? Give God. Supply God. Supply the full story. Supply the happy ending of Srimad Bhagavatam. Again, some of these modern thinkers, they are saying that people have tried to banish God. To banish God. There's this very famous quote from Friedrich Nietzsche, saying, God is dead. Yeah? Everybody has heard God is dead from Nietzsche, yeah? But it's not the full quote. The full quote is God is dead and we have killed him. And the blood is on our hands. The blood is on our hands and we will pay for this dearly. And we suffer because we have killed God. We will suffer very much because we have killed God. That's our fault. So he's not, how to say, calling to godlessness. He's calling to something real. Poor guy. So some of these thinkers are saying that because we have denied God and everything godly, so all the gods in their understanding, meaning that they are hiding as our anxiety, worry, neurosis, depression, pain, loneliness, all these psychological forces that we give these negative names to. It's basically absence of God. So you can see Prabhupada says we need to curb godlessness. How? You have to supply God. And supply God, it sounds easy. God is there. Yes? Got it? Alles klar? Ah, yeah, God is there. Ah, no, it has to be your personal God. You have to understand who he is for you. Who are you for him? How he is in your life. You can see that Gajendra here, in his crisis, he calls Krishna in every possible and impossible manifestation. It's a very amazing and beautiful verse. He says, you are condensed knowledge. Yes, but you're also ignorance, mudha. But you're also everything terrifying. But you're also that super peaceful, shanta. But you are also all the qualities. But you're also absence of all the qualities. But you're also the equilibrium, samyaya, complete fairness and justice. Complete fairness and justice. We don't want justice. I mean, we want justice, but for others. For us, we want mercy. Correct? I don't want to get what I deserve. Of course, if I'm completely, if I'm not careful, I think I deserve much. I deserve so much that nobody will agree that I deserve what I think I deserve. But if I'm a little realistic, I don't want to get what I deserve. I want mercy. I want mercy. I want more than I deserve, or I want mercy. So our task is to become Krishna's servants. So that means we hear Krishna, try to understand his story. And his story, Prabhupada helps us to understand his story. His story is that he's more eager to return suffering people to him, make them happy, than the people are eager themselves, and to help them. And his story is to supply happy end to everybody, to give them mercy, to show them some mercy. And again, mercy also. How does mercy begin? Mercy begins by trying to understand people. Trying to understand people. And again, as so many people said, it's I love humanity. It's the people that I hate. It's the humans that I hate. Humanity I love. It's the humans that I hate. So we love, you know, the world. We are trying to save the world. It's the fellow devotee that we have trouble with, yes? Because he makes this mistake and that mistake, and he does this and that, and here he doesn't do right. But that's the actual area where we can really serve Krishna very nicely by trying to be the channel of Krishna's mercy, trying to help people find meaning, understand what's people's emptiness, where is your friend's emptiness, trying to help the person find what's his story, what's her story. And not some small story, but the big story, what's the big picture in connection with Krishna. So that this is why only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can give you the full happy end. Because it's not just ending one bad story, it's ending all the bad stories and finding the best, happiest end in Goloka Vrindavana. Finding the real fun in Goloka Vrindavana. So, by hearing about bad luck of Gajendra, we are destroying our bad luck, according to Krishna. So all these bad stories are included to prevent all the bad stories that may happen. And it's our task to help Krishna, help us to find our story with Krishna, and to help Krishna help others, and first of all people nearby, to find their story with Krishna. What's your story with Krishna? What is your story with Krishna? Is it fighting? Is it happy fighting? Is it serving? Is it happy serving? And becoming our true, real selves in eternity. Finding the eternal, happy story in the real world of Goloka Vrindavan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Some questions, comments, points?
Yeah, Vaduta Rai has three questions. The first is...
I have to apologize for Vaduta Rai. When was it? Yesterday we didn't ask if there was from him, but yes, thank you.
On happy paramanu.
Happy?
Paramanu.
Paramanu.
The paramanu is the smallest part of matter. Sixth of it are the visible tresaranu. The atom of Western science is something like 10 to 10 centimeters, 10 on the power of minus 1. Like, I don't know, like... And the quark, 10 times 20 centimeters, 10 on the power of minus 20. Six of these are not visible. But Bhagavatam is referring by paramanu.
Why is it happy? Happy paramanu. Six of these are not visible. What Bhagavatam is referring by paramanu? A short answer is that paramanu, anu and paramanu is not an atom, just like atom is also not an atom. Atom means not divisible in Greek. It means not divisible. But we know that as soon as they came up with an atom, then they very quickly they divided atom into protons, neutrons, and electrons. And then they very quickly went on to divide all of those into smaller and then into smaller. And then even recently in Switzerland, we have came up with the God particle, the boson of whose boson? Big's boson, yeah? And it's not the end. Basically, ultimately, we will go all the way to some kind of vibration. So as an atom is not an atom, so also... Anu is not an atom. It's, I understand, just like yesterday on the Sunday feast, we heard this explanation of earth, water, fire as the forces of nature. So all of these forces of nature already are present in one atom. So every atom has all the five elements. There is stability, there is movement, there is transformation. Stability is earth. Movement is air, transformation is Agni, so that's present already in one atom. So they are not such simplistic explanations as just water and earth. What exactly that is, even if I knew, that was in the third canto, when we studied the third canto. Now it's long gone, I can't remember any better explanation what it is. If I had something intelligent to say, it's left on a little yellow post-it note in my third canto, which is in Vrindavan, sorry. All my wisdom is on such little papers, so it's perishable.
Uh, Vishwanath Chakravarti says that Krishna destroyed the unfavorable and neutral parties in this world. Why did he destroy the neutral parties?
Unfavorable. Krishna destroyed the unfavorable and neutral parties in this world. I'm not sure where he says it. I think he destroyed the unfavorable by killing them, and he destroyed the neutral by making them favorable. That's the complaint of Kali. Yeah? Kali. This is 11, Canto 11, chapter 30, verse 5. Commentary by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, that Krishna was sitting, and then secretly Kali, the lord of this yuga, came to him, and he said, "Krishna, dear lord, what am I supposed to do? Unfavorable you have killed. Neutral you have turned into devotees. And then, and it's my Kali Yuga coming. So now, if you depart in full glory, like Lord Ramachandra, that everybody sees you are God, then there is no Kali Yuga. And Kali Yuga is only 10% of the four yugas. It's a little. And it's only on this earth. So most of the universe, there is no Kali Yuga. If you read the fifth canto, it's heavenly, different types of heavenly enjoyment. So if you depart, but this material world is for those who are atheistic. So if you depart in full glory, there is no Kali Yuga. What am I supposed to do? So then, so there is no choice. So then Krishna said, "Don't worry, I have an idea." So then he created this big drama of Yadus killing each other, fighting, and then Krishna also was killed by the arrow hitting his foot and died. And his body was burnt. Hare Krishna. So that people who don't want to believe in him, they say, "Ha ha, see, your Krishna is just like an ordinary person." Just recently, one devotee from a very nice devotee from a nice city in India, he wrote to me, he said, "I'm very, very disturbed, very, very disturbed by reading how Krishna left this world. It destroys my faith." So I sent him this commentary by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, and he was very happy. He said, "Oh, thank you. That commentary saves my faith." Because Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur shows that, first of all, you don't normally die if you cut your foot. I mean, if you get infected, maybe after a long time, but not immediately. So if for a devotee, it's not a big doubt if you read the full story. Also, the very fact that they had this fight, big war between the Yadus, is very strange. Because if there was such a war with thousands and thousands of people fighting such horrible war, then how would a hunter go around looking for a deer? Oh, there is a deer. Even that deer in Tivoli that somehow hangs out in this corner closer to the temple, he doesn't let me come closer than maybe 5-7 meters. I come to him, he looks at my hands, empty, and then he runs away. So if there was a big fight, all the deer would run far away. How would the hunter, Jara, hunt for any deer? So he says, for a devotee, it's clear. But if you want to have an excuse, I can say, "Oh, see, Krishna is not transcendental. He left some body. There was a cremation. See what?" And we can have an excuse to reject God, just like I was distributing books in Stockholm for marathon, Prabhupada marathon. What was it? 91. And I offered one book to one gentleman, Krishna. And he looked, he said, "Oh, Krishna, no, I will not buy a book about Krishna because he killed his uncle." Really? So, how about uncle trying to kill him? I think it's worse, no? And he didn't even, actually he didn't kill Kamsa because Kamsa attacked him. When Kamsa's eight brothers attacked Krishna, Krishna stood without lifting his finger, without trying to fight back. He stood still in the arena. Balaram had to smash all the eight. Because he killed Kamsa only because Kamsa was just about to kill Vasudeva and Devaki. He wanted to cut Krishna and then attack Vasudeva and Devaki. That's why he killed Kamsa. But if Kamsa wanted to attack him, Krishna, these uncles wanted to attack him, he didn't fight. Yeah. So, if you want to find an excuse to reject Krishna, okay, it's Kali Yuga. You have your right. Yeah, you can remain an atheist. That's your birthright in this material world in Kali Yuga. So Krishna gives you. So that's how he allows some unfavorable parties to survive in this Kali Yuga. If I understand correctly the reference of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Any other questions? Any other points?
How do we take, we were speaking about Gajendra, what is the best way to get the mercy from Gajendra, because he has that experience and he is like...
Yes, the role model. When your foot is attacked by a crocodile, this is what you do. By the way, the next chapter is called Gajendra Returns to the Spiritual World. Hare Krishna! And Krishna himself, you can see there is a big, big list. See how many verses? Huge list. And Krishna says, anybody who remembers Gajendra, the Trikuta mountain, the crocodile, the Gandharvas, the Sudarshana, my club, my mark, Garuda, my bed, goddess of fortune, Narada Muni, Shiva, Prahlada, Matsya Kurma Varaha, the sun, the moon, Om, the total material energy. Probably must remember the total, not partial. Devotional service, the wives of Soma and Kashyapa. Like today, it's which wife? Shatabisha. Shatabisha Nakshatra. Who are all daughters of King Daksha. The rivers Ganga, Saraswati, Nanda, and Yamuna, Kalindi. Dhruva and Airavata. Yes, so such a person will remove all bad luck. So just remembering, that's how we get mercy. Just reading, just discussing. It's amazing. It's basically, on the surface, it's rather simple. A rather simple story. An elephant got in trouble, remembered God, and got saved. Right? But it's so famous. You can see there is an enjoyment and there is power, there is a clash of different elements. So somehow it resonates if we meditate on it. So hearing about it, thinking about it, just saying Gajendra, it removes bad luck from the day, it says. And just remembering any feature of this story gives us a good fortune. So just trying to find all the nuances of this story, connecting it to Krishna, discussing it, and that gives us mercy. Okay. Hare Krishna. So, you remember your task is to curb godlessness. Remove emptiness from your heart with Krishna's mercy, and then with others, from others' hearts. So find out the full story. Find out the full story. Supply the next chapter. Supply the next chapter. To be continued. To be continued in the spiritual world. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.